NBA Strayer. There you go. That's right. It's NBA Strayer. It's Tuesday, February 23, all day. I'm your host, James Clements. That's right. I'm a writer. Sometimes Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie Rap, Bull Bang, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff here in Larry Arm Studios, giving you all the lowdown and all the ins and outs of a increasingly weird NBA season. While repping Stray just a bit, that's what we do here. And in a surprise twist, we don't take things too seriously. We leave that to all the nerds. So many of them out there. Anyway, lots of stuff is going on. The Lakers are in a tailspin. The Wizards are just unbeatable. So are Phoenix. Anyway, there's heaps of stuff to get through today's show with the NBA Straight Game Wraps. We've also got That's Not a Knife, All Made, No Made, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's Yeah Nas. There's the Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and there's our Back Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's a very quick Australian player watch and a Shane Hill shoot your shot, light him up award, because it is Tuesday. That's what we do on Tuesdays. Plus game previews for tomorrow. How bloody good's this? Yeah, not bad, bro. Anyway, we're going to finish up with a brand new Jingles HR answering a question from Ryan in Minnesota today, which would be pretty good. And yeah, chock full show. So let's bloody well get to it. NBA Australia episode 556. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Or you better watch out for the Beal and Rusty attack at the moment. Oh, geez. Here come the Wiz. Love it. Right, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. Boogie! I somehow totally skipped my news bit that I'd written down yesterday and in the weekend losers. Because it was meant to be all of us, because Boogie has departed the Houston Rockets. Well, at least they're basically going, yeah, look, we're not gonna figure this out, are we, bro? So how about we just go our separate ways and, look, you know, we'll figure out where you can go. And I love Boogie. I absolutely love DeMarcus Cousins. It's like my Russell Westbrook kind of vibes. Just dudes who are a little bit weird, a little bit wild. Shit's just a bit awesome. And then suddenly, it doesn't work out. Doesn't work out great sometimes. And Boogie and the Rockets are planning to part ways in the coming days, apparently. Basically now. And you're like, oh, cool. So he's going to be going to the Lakers. Cool. Gnarly. All right. Basically, Houston were like, yeah, we want to go smaller and younger in the front court. We've got Christian Wood. And everyone's like, yeah, but you've also got no one else. So there's very clearly something else going on. But whatever. What do you reckon? What are the bets? Lakers or Nets? Easy as like. I also love that he's like, yeah, nah, I'm good. I love John Wall, but this place fucking sucks. You guys are all dickheads. Fuck you, Houston. Peace. Which you love from Boogie. Absolutely love to see it. Anyway, it's going to be fascinating to see where he ends up. When I say fascinating, I mean, what, LA or Brooklyn? Quinn Cook was just waived. Waived. That's right, waived by the Los Angeles Lakers. It's kind of weird, like, the Lakers are hard-capped as well. They can maybe add some dudes, but basically, they've just waived Quinn Cook, and you're like, oh, yeah, cool. Maybe that's the Boogie move. Turns out the Lakers already had an open roster spot as well. What they should be doing is going for Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, very obviously, or Kung Fu Thon McCur, just in case, you know, LeBron needs a bloke who can kick the shit out of somebody on his team as well, and away we go. But there you go. Quinn Cook no longer on the Lakers. That's, the absolutely unstoppable Quinn Cook, who just keeps winning titles. So, it's a damn shame. Anyway, what else? Other news, the NBA Players of the Week. In the East, it was Fast Jimmy Harden. Fat Man Hoop, Brooklyn Clan. Love to see that. He's been unstoppable this last week and a half. And Dame was the Player of the Week in the West. Yeah, no shit. Good stuff. Right, let's get to some game wraps. Let's fire through this show. What do you reckon? And I've had the squid all day. Bit antsy. Just want to knock this one out. Let's go. Game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps. Game wraps. Chicago beat the shit out of the aforementioned Houston Rockets. Houston get rid of Boogie, and it's like, oh, look, we've lost seven straight games. Maybe we'll part ways with Boogie, and that'll fix it. Nope! Not a bad game, this one, either, until the third quarter, and then Chicago went, oh, right, we're playing Houston, and they don't have anybody. and the dudes they do have aren't very good on defense. So they then proceeded to shoot 19 of 25 in that quarter, in that third quarter. It was absolutely good. Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine went fucking ham. He was unstoppable in the third. He literally didn't miss. He went 5 of 5 for the quarter. He went 3 of 3 from downtown. And he hit the one free throw he took. He had 14 points in the quarter. It was awesome. But seriously, they had a 6-point lead going into the half and then outscored them by 20 in the third quarter and just won, you know, just cruised. It was all over. The Rockets, no one could hit a shot on that team. 38% for that team overall. Oh, John Wall, 4 of 14 for his 15 points. Not great in 26 minutes. Eric Gordon went 5 of 18. Jesus, 1 of 10 from downtown. He had, 13 points. Jay Sean Tate, he even shot under 50%. He went 5 of 11 for his 12 points. Literally, the only dudes to do anything for Houston were fucking David Nwaba and Sterling Brown. The only blokes literally that did much. Nwaba had 22, probably his best game of the season. And Sterling Brown went 4 of 4 from downtown. He ended up with 16 points. It's good to see Justin Patton out there as well. Former first-round pick. He had 4 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks in 21 minutes. You love it. So maybe he's your Boogie replacement. Cool. The Bulls, Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine ends up with 21 points. As mentioned, those 14 came in the third. Pretty amazing. 6 assists as well. Kobe White, 24 points, 10 rebounds. He shot 10 of 16. He was unstoppable. 18 and 13 for Wendell Carter Jr. and 3 blocks as well. 14 and 7 for their first round pick, Pat Williams. And Thad Buckets. Look, if you need a kick in the ass and you're in the NBA, just go buy an NBL franchise. What do you reckon? 17, 8, and 5 for Thad Junk Buckets. Houston dropped to 11 and 18. They've now lost 8 straight. And the wheels aren't off. The wheels have just disappeared into the fucking ether. They're just like, the wheels rolled off ages ago. They're in like the next state. And Chicago are 14 and 16. Memphis went into Dallas and got their asses kicked 102-92. No extreme zinger meal either for the old Dallas Mavericks, which is pretty fucking crazy for them to just smoke them like this.
Extreme zinger meal.
Yeah, he was not the supercharged zinger burger today.
Supercharged zinger burger.
He had a bung back. But no zinger, no worries. Dallas led this one literally from the start and it got ugly quick. They're up 20 in the second quarter and it literally never got close. Like, the closest they got was 10 right at the end of the game. That was as close to being since the start of the first quarter. It was fucking wild. But this is the problem. No Dylan Brooks for Memphis. And when they don't have Dylan Brooks, and when some of their dudes just, you know, the random Grayson Allen game, etc., where he hits some shots, when that's not happening, they're fucked. Just no one else steps up offensively outside of Ja Morant. And yeah, they shot 6 of 31 from 3, shot under 40% as a team. Ja Morant was good. He had 22 and 9, but no one else could do shit. So when my name is Jonas Valanciunas is out there going 5 of 18, you're like, ah, right, we're fucked. Justice Winslow went 1 of 10. He went 1 of 9 in his debut. 1 of 6 from Grayson Allen. De'Anthony Melton went 2 of 8. Like, Tyus Jones. He was like 5 of 7. But Desmond Brown had 12 points, but Jesus, they just couldn't overcome that. Luka had 21. 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He was very chill. Hardaway the Lesser hit 7 threes. He was bloody good. Brunson, he had 29 points, Hardaway the Lesser. And even right at the end, when there was like Memphis like, oh, we're back within 10, Hardaway the Lesser literally went the fucking length of the court, got an and one, and it was like, oh yeah, no, this game's over. 17 for Richo. Brunson had 19, 7 and 3. He's been great the last 2 weeks, Jalen Brunson. Recovering from COVID, and even with Finney Smith sucking, they kept manufacturing points with ease and they rolled. Memphis now 13 and 14. Dallas 14 and 15. Ooh, it's like Fibonacci shit. Miami went into OKC and won a tough one, 108-94. No average L for OKC. He was out resting, so no Georgie Hill either with his hand. Tyler, there goes my hero, was out for Miami as well. This was a really weird game. OKC led for heaps of it, up 9 halfway through the third quarter, and then you're like, oh, jeez. Miami on the road, this is it. It's all over. They're down 9 halfway through the third quarter. Going to be fucking tough, bro. They're pow! Pow! Pow, pow, pow! Like, literally just before the end of the third quarter, the end of the game, they outscored them 50-27. Jesus. Struus, Olenek, Nunn, Precious, Achua, and then Dunkey. I'd like to have a beer with Duncan Robinson. Dragged it back, took the lead, and literally Miami never gave it up. It was wild because Butts was playing. He sat the entire fourth quarter because they're like, oi, you want to go in, Butts? He's like, no, you guys are kicking ass and taking names. Keep on doing it, fellas. And they did. It was awesome. OKC literally didn't score for the entire first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. So they were up, what was it, 9, halfway through the third quarter. They turn around halfway through the fourth. They're down 17. Absolutely insane. Tough scene, though. But this is what you get with young teams like OKC. Like, and we've talked about this last week or so, right? This is the perfect tanking team. It's perfect. It's like, oh, I've watched that whole bunch of that OKC game. We're up. This is awesome. And then they slowly sort of shit it and they lose. And you're like, you know what? I'm fine with that. 17 turnovers of the Thunder. They shot 43%. Shai Redick-Gilchrist-Alexander was awesome. 27 points for him. Dort was horrible. 3 of 15. Baisley had 13 points. No one else did shit for the Thunder. The Heat, bam! Adebayo had 19, 13, and 5. He's awesome. Kendrick Lamar, none. He's back, baby. I love it. 20 points, 7 of 18 shooting, 9 assists. I like to have a beer with Duncan, as mentioned. Canning threes left, right, and center. 6 of 13 from downtown. He went. He ended up with 22 points. And Butts, 15 points, 9 assists, 3 of 11 shooting. Goes 9 of 9 from the free throw line. That's how you do it. And didn't play in the fourth quarter. Didn't need to. OKC at 12 and 19. Miami, 14 and 17. Portland! Lost in Phoenix, 132-100. This was a really good game during the first half. And do you, like, detect a, like, a weird sort of a bit of a blowout vibe for all of these games? Because if you are, then you're not fucking wrong. It's like Blowout Tuesday. Love it. Nice arm wrestle in the first half. Then Phoenix in the second quarter, their bench sort of just took control a little bit. And then, boom, in the third, like, basically it was halfway through the second quarter. Phoenix's bench was good. Their starters come back in. They exert their control a little bit more. And then third quarter, boom, Booker and Ayton absolutely fucking smoked the Blazers. The Cams came in, Cam Johnson, Cam Payne. Both hit threes. And boom, a 20-point lead coming out of the quarter. You're like, what the fuck just happened? It was a 17-37 quarter. The Blazers couldn't literally buy a shot in that quarter. They were 1 of 9 from 3, 7 of 23 overall. And they had 10 points off turnovers, did Phoenix. All in that one quarter, and boom, game was over. 15 turnovers for the Blazers, but just no answer in that third quarter. Nothing they could do. Not even Dame time. There was no Dame time to be had here. No Dame time here. Chop. Seven assists, 24 points, 9 of 17 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3. And that's the problem, right? Like, Dame time is awesome, but he's going to have the game where he goes 1 of 7 from 3, and you're going to lose it because you don't have CJ, you don't have Nurk. Gary Terrence Trent Darby Jr. was horrible in this one too. 4 of 18. 4 of 18. Just imagine if you had him in your fantasy league. Fuck! Yeah, that's me. Don't know if you could tell. What else? Mello, look. Carmelo Anthony, 10 points. He was a minus 22. Thanks for coming, Mello. Spud Hood had 9. 8 for Derek Jones Jr. No one was doing anything apart from Nasir Little. He had 18 points. A lot of garbage time for Nasir. For the Suns, they shot 16 of 33 from downtown. That's amazing. They shot over 50% from the floor as well. Booker was awesome. 34 points, 12 of 17. Shot 2 of 2 from downtown. 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Did everything. 19 and 5 for Ayton with 2 blocks. CP3 had a rough game from the floor, 1 of 9 shooting, but he had 9 assists, not bad. 14 for Dario the homie Saric. Cam Johnson had 13, Michael Bridges had 10. Portland absolutely fucking blew this one in that second half. You're going to get it on the big jobs though. Look, we've talked about this before. The fact that Portland have been as good as they are is a bit fucking wild, but now they're 18 and 12. They're still cruising. They still don't have CJ and Nurk. Good on them. You'll take that, but Phoenix are 20 and 10 and absolutely kicking ass, and I'm loving it. The weirdest part is this is the Trailblazers' biggest loss in the last 2 years. And the weirdest part is for Phoenix, it was the second consecutive 30-point win. It's the first time that's happened since 1989. Holy shit. Not bad. Another 20-point blowout. Utah beat the shit out of Charlotte, 132-110. And again, if you want a bit of a through line of today's games, it was pretty tight there for a moment. And then the other team went, fuck off. This was looking really hairy for the Jazz, right? They were down by 11 at one point. Then they win by 22. It's absolutely insane. Charlotte were rolling, giving the Jazz fits with some very, very nice shot making. Gordon Hayward was doing shit. Malik Monk was crushing it. And that's sometimes the vibe with the old Jazz, right? Sometimes they have these nights where they just don't have it. They play down to the competition. But then this is a different Jazz team. This is the Jazz team that goes on a 41-11 run that blows the doors completely off their fucking hinges in this game. They set a new franchise record in three-point makes of 28 today. Absolutely. They've won 21 of their last 23 games, right? So when I say the Jazz play down to their teams, we've seen that over the last couple of years, right? There'd be just one random game, and usually, bizarrely enough, they'd drop at home, and you're like, what the fuck is up with the Jazz? This is why we can't trust them. They looked like they were shitting it in this one, and then they went, right, we're not going to fuck it up. And then they came out, dropped everything, kicked ass. I'll tell you what, it was a lot to do with Georgie's Niang and his fellow Splash brother, Jingling Joe Ingles. They both made 7 threes. It was crazy. Gordon Hayward looked like he hurt his wrist when he braced his fall. He left to go to the locker room. We're still waiting a word about that. But Jesus, Utah just went, oh, yeah, look, fuck yous. And absolutely fucking smashed it. In, again, you want a 20-point lead in a quarter? They outscored them 41-20 in the fourth quarter. Win the game. Off you go. Boom shkies. Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. It's like, holy shit. They basically, it's essentially 19 threes off the bench for Utah. I think that's the most by any bench in NBA history as well, which is fucking gnarly. But the thing is, they also had just set their previous like high for threes made of 26 against Charlotte back on like Feb 5. So absolutely awesome. Got rid of that 11-point lead. Wins the fucking game. Absolutely awesome. Good job, Jazz. The Hornets, Gordo had 21-3, 2-2 before he left. He shot 9 of 15. He was going 1 of 5 from downtown though. 21 for LaMelo. He was pretty bloody good. Didn't shoot great, but did some good shit. Was taunting Mike Conley early on, saying that he's a bit too small. Terry Rozier, after his heroics the other day, 12 points, 11 shots. Ah, trick or treat. Terry, you love it. He was minus 26 in a game. They lost by 22. Malik Monk had 20 points. You love to see that. PJ Hamilton, Washington. God, he's good. 17-3, 4 and 4 steals. He was awesome. For the Jazz, Donnie Mitchell, 23 points, 8 assists, 6 turnovers, 3 of 8 from 3, 15 and 5 for Conley. 10 points, 12 rebounds, 6 blocks for Rudy Gobert. Zestafatawa had 2 blocks on 1 possession at 1 point. He's awesome. Jingles, though, 21 points, all coming on 3, 7-10. Georgie's Niang, 7-7 from 3 as well, also with 21 points. Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, 5-10 from 3. Unbelievable. They had 65 points off the bench. That's fucking crazy. Charlotte, 14-16 now. Utah, 21 of the last 23. They're 25-6, the best team in the NBA. And then the only actual fucking close game of the day, Washington Lakers. Who'd have thunk? Not me, Jimmy. Absolutely wild game. Washington win at 127-124. The Lakers were sleepwalking their way to a win at this point. They're up 17 in the third quarter. And then you want some more pow, 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 pow. Second half, Washington just came out of fucking nowhere and took the lead. Rusty and Beal were doing great shit. Denny Avdija just came out of nowhere, steps up in the fourth quarter, hits 2 massive threes. Same with Bertans. Boom. Washington have the lead. It was absolutely fucking awesome. Because, yeah, it was like in the fourth quarter, you're like, what just fucking happened, bro? The Wizards are leading. They get to overtime, though, because they're like, well, we better give LeBron a free and one. LeBron just, like, charges down the lane, throws in a fucking fake layup. There's a fake foul called on him. It's all tied up. What are you going to do? Overtime, though. Absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. Beal and Rusty score literally every single Washington point. They win the game. No fucking problems. Beal hits a couple of insane shots. Absolutely insane shots. There was one where he basically dropped the ball, lost control of it, managed to regather it, split 3 defenders, and do a reverse layup. It was fucking bonkers. I was just like, what the fuck is happening? Brad Beal. Thing is, Brad Beal was shit in the fourth quarter. Couldn't hit anything. Like, luckily it was Denny and Rusty and Rui doing shit. So they get them to the overtime after basically having the lead, looking like they're in control. LeBron gets his fake fucking title up, game tying and one. And then Beal just goes, fuck you. Rusty has a huge and one with 11.6 seconds left. Off we go. Washington up three. LeBron takes an early three, bringing the ball up. Misses. Trying to tie it all up. Kuzma gets the rebound. Tries his Ray Allen impression and boom! Rubbish. Real fucking rubbish. Just chucked up a hunk of shit. Yeah, it was horrible. Game over. Washington are amazing and they might be my favorite team now. They're so weird. Denny is a fucking lunatic. The Lakers don't have AD. They don't have German Rondo. And LeBron had 31 points, 9 rebounds, 13 assists. He shot 14 to 29. But he went 2 of 10 from 3 and they lost. 21 for KCP, 14 and 11 for Kuz. Montrez was awesome. He shot 10 of 17 for his 26 points and 9 rebounds. Caruso even had 11. But it was like, where's Matthews? Goes 0 of 3 in 26 minutes. There was very little else. And they just couldn't get over the hump against the Wiz. Because Brad Beal had 33. Rusty had 32. 15 for Rui Hachimura. 13 for Rolo. Danny Avdija has 8.8 rebounds, but he's tough as fucking nails. Gets a rebound right at the end where it turns into a jump ball, but he fucking just drags it down. What a game. The Lakers dropped to 22-10 now. Washington have won 5 straight, and they're 11-17. I'm loving every second of this whole Wizards revival out of nowhere. Let's go, Wiz. Let's go do also an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Can you say Splash Brothers? George Nyang, 21 points, 7 of 7 from 3. Jingling Joe Ingles, 21 points, 7 of 10 from 3. Even Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, 5 of 10 from downtown. Absolutely amazing. Devin Booker, though, hot damn. The way he took over that third quarter against Portland was amazing. And you're like, oh, here we go. It's Booker time, apparently. But come on! We're going to give this one to Rusty. 32 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. He shot 13 of 25 from the floor.
And gee, is there some correlation between Russell Westbrook not shooting a million threes and actually playing well?
Well, thank you for asking. Because yes, of course, he went 0 of 1 from downtown. What a game. 32, 14 and 9. And Brad Beal, 33, 7 and 6. 12 of 24 from the floor. 2 of 5 from downtown. Hit some amazing shots. They scored every single one of the overtime points for the Washington Wizards. That's 12 points in the overtime period. Absolutely fucking incredible. But the best part is, this is exactly what you wanted from the Wizards, right? When you basically trade John Wall for Rusty Westbrook, you're like, look, we just need someone that Brad Beal can play off a little bit, take a little bit of the offensive burden, and also do some good shit. And Rusty, in the last week, has done exactly that. Maybe because he's finally kicking that COVID. Maybe because he's finally getting back into a bit of rhythm. He had missed some games as well with his fucking calf. No, his thigh. His hammy, yeah. Which is always fucky. So let's go. Rusty and Beal, fucking 65 points combined, the same as the Utah bench. They absolutely crushed it, and that was fucking awesome. So there you go. Rusty and Beal, your NBA Australia approved performance of the night. Who was Spud of the night, though, Jimmy?
Spud of the night.
Look, there's a couple of handy ones to look at here. We had, I mentioned Wes Matthews, but Chris Paul going 1 of 9. He still had 9 assists. He was right. Justice Winslow, though, going 1 of 10.
1 of 10! 1 of fucking 10!
Absolutely fucking brutal, I'll tell you that much. But again, it's Justice coming back after a big, big fucking layoff. It's his second game back. You don't want to rag on him too much. But how about Gary Terrence Trent Darby Jr. then? In a big game where Portland are in this, Gary goes 4 of 18. 4 of 18, mate. 3 of 12 from downtown. He has 2 rebounds, 0 assists, and 1 steal, and 1 turnover. That is fucking brutal. And I mentioned Dort. He goes 3 of 15 as well. But Gary Terrence Trent Darby Jr. Look, this probably just hurts more because he's on my fucking fantasy team. But Jesus, that is a hell of an outing, isn't it? 4 of 18. Brutal. Who's old mate no mates, though?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? How about the rest of the Lakers? Because You 100% know that LeBron loses this game to Washington. The Lakers all go back to their locker room. They've all filed in, heads hanging. Kuzma's like, oh, I better check my phone, see what's going on. And Wes Matthews is like pulling off all the ankle tape and shit. LeBron's just walking in. He's just slowly closing the door behind him. Goes, right. Everybody here? I will trade every single one of you motherfuckers if you don't hit a goddamn shot. And everyone's like, oh, it's, yeah, thanks, LeBron. Yeah, cheers, bro. Marc Gasol sitting on, fuck off, nerd. I will beat your ass. Montrez is like, I just got here. But LeBron is like calling on like all of his fucking, like during this game against Washington, he's like, would you motherfuckers hit a shot? A, I'm trying to get a triple-double. B, I'm trying to win an MVP. C, we're trying to win this game. And none of you dickheads are hitting shots. You're fucking killing me. KCP finally came up big right at the end. And he's like, thank fuck. And then on defense, he's like, would you motherfuckers lock in on D? Meanwhile, Rusty's literally just walking straight around LeBron. And every one of LeBron's teammates is like, this fucking guy, I'll tell you what. This fucking guy. Rags me out on D and look at what he's doing. He's fucking playing statue defense. Like, I thought my NBA League pass had fucking frozen. I'm like, wait, is it glitching? LeBron just stopped and he just went right around him. Twice! It's fucking crazy. So, all mate, no mates is literally the rest of the Lakers. Because, obviously, bit of a losing streak. Not great for the Lakers. And every time LeBron's on a losing streak, you know fucking heads are going to roll. They've lost 4 of 5. They've lost to the Nets, the Heat, and the Wiz. 3 teams, ostensibly, if you're the Lakers, you'd feel pretty good about beating. But boom! Kuzma, especially with that last three. I know that you were not doing too badly in the game from three, Kuzma. Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. So, the rest of those Lakers, just saying. We've got precedent. Watch your back. Like, they all get on the team bus. Well, they're probably not on the bus. They're at home, but still. Like, LeBron would be on their phone and everybody else in that Laker locker room would be like, fuck, where's he trading me to? Fuck. I don't want to go to Charlotte. I don't want to move to Orlando. Who copped the pantsing of the night, though? Fatty, fat. I did enjoy LaMelo Ball saying that Mike Conley was too small. I'd be so confused if I was Conley. And I'm like trying to guard LaMelo and LaMelo's like, yeah, just got a fucking layup over the top of you, Mike. It's like, yeah, I got switched on. You're fucking half a foot taller than me, LaMelo, you dickhead. Of course I'm too small. You're basically a fucking wing masquerading as a point guard who plays next to a point guard. By rights, I should be covering Rose and Devontae Graham. I've been switched onto you and you're saying I'm too small. Blow it out your ass. Tough scenes because then Mike has the last laugh, of course. They pants LaMelo and co. LaMelo then couldn't hit another fucking shot for the rest of the game. Conley put him in the torture chamber. And basically that set off Conley and set off the Jazz. They're like, you don't fucking say Mike Conley's small, LaMelo. Just a fucking minute, young whippersnapper. We're now going to fuck your team up because you're a bit of a dickhead. And boom, they pants the Charlotte Hornets the rest of the way. Also, pants of the night, the refs not seeing Donovan Mitchell traveling egregiously in that game and hitting a three, but still. The Hornets then got pants pretty fucking hardcore. Anytime you give up a 41-11 run, Jesus, you got pants, son. How about better than Lonzo Ball, however?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Shai Redick, Gilgeous Alexander is absolutely crushing it of late. I very much enjoy. Like, he's been in and out of the lineup during the this month. And OKC, you know, they've had a couple of touches of the old COVID here and there. But he is absolutely fucking shredding it. And this is why when I hear, you know, fucking certain prominent dipshits in NBA circles going, would OKC think about trading Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander? It's like, no! He's 100% the dude you fucking build around. It makes zero... He's 22! You don't trade and go, oh, well, we've got to, you know, what we're trying to do is build up from the ground up. You've got your superstar. You literally build around Shai. He's 20 fucking 2! This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. And it also makes me think, when you hear specific fucking big NBA media personalities go, I don't know, maybe they should trade, OKC should trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, I don't know, fuckwit. He's 22, he's a gun. For the fucking month, he's averaging 25 points, fucking 5 rebounds, 7 assists, shooting 47% from the floor and 47% from 3. How about you blow it out your ass?
I'm trying to get him to Boston, just saying.
So fuck off. Oh, hate it. Anyway, Shai Redick, Gilgeous Alexander today. Backed up his game yesterday against Cleveland. That's right, their big win against Cleveland. He had 31-9 in that one. He had 27 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds today. They couldn't get over the hump against Miami, but it wasn't his fault. 10 of 15 shooting, 2 of 3 from downtown. He's a fucking gun. I love him. And today, he was better than Lonzo Ball. Right, going to do some yenas right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, did I say who's going to do some yenas after this? I mean, I am. That's so fucking weird. Just fried from a day with the squid, you know? Always happens. Right, let's do some yenas. They're brought to you with thedailyliquor.com. It's fucking summer. It's awesome. It's Australia. Better order some beers online. Thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. Get around it. Smashing the code STRAY, you'll get a free sixer of their amazing Dos X, the Dos Blocos XBA. But their incredible selection of beeros and wines and cocktails are pretty much unprecedented. And, like, the prices are awesome. So go smash thedailyliquor.com if you're over 18 and if you're in the Melbourne metro area. Boom. If you bang in a code, you know, Straya, for instance, they'll give you a free sixer. And they'll deliver it to you all on the same day if you order before noon. How's that? You'd be like, oh, it's 11. What have I got in the fridge? Fucking nothing. Shit, I better get some beers. Boom. Bang in the code STRAYA at thedailyliquor.com. Get a free sixer on your mate Jimmy. And enjoy some beeros on me. Right, yeah, nah, as we take a bunch of NBA storylines aside whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, Scotty Baxter. Jimmy, that offensive foul at Kawhi, it was BS. Yeah, nah, yeah. So I didn't really bang. I banged on about the Clippers and the Nets sort of in weekend winners and losers yesterday. But yeah, the Clippers just feel a bit fucky, don't they? And the fact that Kawhi had an offensive foul caught on him at the end of the game that basically cost him the game. The fact that it was James Harden drawing the foul made it the most funniest, most ironic fucking dumb shit ever. And it's hilarious. And I kind of touched on this from yesterday as well. The refs are off their fucking chops at this point, aren't they? Like, that was a horrible call. It's like, oh, but he kind of half made contact with him as well. Yeah, as Harden was fucking draped all over him. Like, and my big thing with a lot of this sort of shit is like, I don't know why the refs aren't like, you know what, fuck his play on. To like 99% of dudes like James Harden, right? They know that he flops. They know that he sells contact. Trae Young, same shit. Luka, same shit. Like, just fucking swallow the whistle. Just go, who fucking cares? Ah, James Harden. Ah, looks like Kawhi got it. I'm not going to call a foul on that. Why would you? Fuck off, idiots. Refs, pull your heads in. Don't call shit. It's fucking annoying. But yeah, that was some BS shit. Good call, Scotty. Jez Oz says, hey, champion, with the shockingly sudden departure of Ryan Saunders as Wolves coach, the only chance they have of salvaging anything from the current squad without trading Towns is to bring in a couple of experienced vets like Lou Williams or, dare I say it, the great King Deli, along with a teaching coach like Jeff Van Gundy to get the joint cracking. Yeah, nah. Yeah, I 100% agree with Jez here. But, I mean, it's a bit too late with the coach thing, right? Because it seems that Gerson Rosas was already pretty well sold on Chris Finch. I'm going to call him Finchy. From their time together a couple of different ways, right? Houston, Rio Grande Valley Vipers, etc. Rosas very clearly had his eye on his dude. Saunders was not long for the Wolves when they got new management and shit in there, so... But the thing is, I think we've seen shit like this just work in Phoenix, haven't we? Like, last year... They're a young, talented squad. They did a lot better last year because they had Bangers and Rubio and co. coming in, setting a tone for a really young team. Then this year, they upgrade to CP3. They bring in Crowder, and away they go. They're, as I mentioned earlier, they're 20-10. They're crushing it. So it's very clearly, like, we've seen the Wolves, they tried to do the same thing. They brought in Rubio. They brought in a couple of other dudes where you're like, oh, this isn't such a bad idea. They brought back Beasley. And like, all right, well, but who are their vets? And are they known as good leaders? Are they setting examples? You know, they've got Rubio. They've got a number one pick in Anthony Edwards. But the rest of them are all, literally, they brought in, so they've still got Ed Davis, right? And that's their vibe. They're like, let's bring in Ed Davis. He'll set a bit of a tone. The thing is, Ed Davis of 3 years ago could have done that. The Ed Davis of now, everyone's like, who? What? He's barely been able to play for years. So it kind of sucks. So the thing is, the rest of the fucking, like, nobodies on this team, you've got like a run of Okogies, Jarrett Culver, he's young as Jaden McDaniels, young as fuck. Jordan McLaughlin's young as fuck. Beasley's young. Anthony Edwards, the number one pick. Jared Vanderbilt, one show. There's only one Hernan Gomez. They've just got no fuck you solid vets. Like Ed Davis, Ricky Rubio, it's not enough. Hilariously, I want them to bring in K-Love to team up with Rubio. Just run it back, baby! Woo! That'd be the best, wouldn't it? That'd be the most roundabout way to get him back. Because once upon a time, remember, the Wolves didn't give K-Love the last year in his max extension contract because it would have made him their designated maximum, supermax player because they were saving it for Rubio. That didn't work out. Hashtag spoiler alert. K-Love got fucky, hated them for it all, and ended up leaving, which is hilarious. So bring him back. Let's do it. But yeah, they need like the Anthony Tolliver types, but this is the thing with the Ed Davis dudes. You can throw Ed in there on the very odd occasion, but I think 3-4 years ago, Ed Davis could still play, could still ragdoll some motherfuckers, be still awesome. Saw it in Utah, you saw it in Portland, you saw it in Brooklyn very briefly. It's the vibe, right? You need the Taj Gibson dudes, the Udonis Haslams, because it's obviously not Rubio. He's like a tone setter. This is how we do things the right way. Not a follow me into the breach kind of leader dude, veteran, you know? Also, talking a lot of Spanish. The tricky part is finding him as well. Like, but I think you do have to bring in some vets, though. And this is where your KG dude sort of comes into play. But what you need, the Ed Davis type, you need a couple more like that. You need vets who are about to go into coaching at some point. Put them around Finchie, keep everyone on the straight and narrow, kick some ass, take some names, and away you go. Because you're going to be a new coach going to a mess like this, you'd be like, oh, fuck, what have I gotten myself into? No one here is like listening to us. What are we all doing? It might just be a bit fucking weird. So who they are, that's up for Rosas to figure out. But Kevin Love would be pretty funny. Andre Drummond would be also pretty funny. Don't know why we're just pillaging fucking Cleveland, but here we are. Love it. Go get Blake Griffin. Let's bring him to Minnesota. I don't know, but it's weird. Go find, but Jez, you're right. They need those vets who basically want to go into coaching. It's the Ty Lues, the Sam Cassells, the Jerry Stackhouses that you sort of need on the bench. Kick some ass, take some names. Right, last one. Does this little LA Lakers swoon light a fire underneath them about finding a better third option than fucking KCP? Yeah, nah. Look, people are losing their minds on the internet at the moment. It's like, ah. Oh. My favorite thing is the people who build up the Chris Webber straw man argument of like, hey man, all those motherfuckers out there saying that AD isn't a superstar. Look, it's like, no one was saying that AD is not a superstar, you fuck knuckles. Jesus, Lakers fans are the worst. Anyway, yeah, nah. The big thing lost in the last couple of games is that the Lakers also don't have German Rondo and Dennis Schroeder. So with him not being there either, it's actually a weirdly big loss on top of AD, right? Like, if he's there, boom, you're running shit tons of pick and roll with him and Trez. Your D picks up a little as well. You're not relying as much as Armenian Alan Kuzma to do everything, to do all the stuff that he needs to do. Dennis Schroeder just giving him that extra little bit of offensive punch, and he's been really good on D. They love him on D this year. But yeah, I think the German Rondo and the AD combo is tougher than people realize. So I think they'll be fine. They were fucking just happy as Larry, like literally 2 weeks ago. So they'll be all right. What about the unpopular opinion of the day?
Look at me.
I kind of think the Lakers should have looked at this stretch, gone, fuck, no Anthony Davis. All right, LeBron, you've also got calf tightness. Right? Like, who cares? The bloke's not going to get any rest over fucking All-Star now because Adam Silver's fucking him over. So why not just go, LeBron's ankle is a bit weird. Like, why not? They've lost 4 of 5 anyway. Like, the thing is, their next 4 games, they play the Jazz in Utah. Then they've got games against the Blazers, the Warriors, and the Suns. Like, why the fuck wouldn't you just go, you know what? LeBron, you're not going to get any rest over All-Star. We don't have Anthony Davis now. We know what we can do. We just won the fucking title. LeBron, just chill out for a minute. But LeBron's like, oh, I've got to win this MVP. Do it, LeBron. Do it. But still, they 100% should have been resting him. Just saying. What about the Outback Takehouse for today, however? It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, I'm going on seek.com.au to replace all my kitchen stuff because that bird got fucking loose and killed them all, but we finally brought him down. And it tastes delicious. That's right, today's special is cassowary casserole, only at Outback. And today's flame-grilled take is... Contrary to yesterday's idea about Gilbert Arenas being in the Hall of Fame, I actually think Gilbert Arenas should be in the Hall of Fame. Because you can't properly tell the story of the game of basketball in the early and mid-thousands without him. Also, guns, and that's a fucking giant awesome story. So he should be in there. Only at Outback. Look, I didn't know which one has the unpopular opinion of the day or Outback take yesterday. I think Gilbert Arenas should be in the Hall of Fame. Put him in Springfield. That dude was unstoppable, and there's literally no way, until he got injured, that you could tell the story of thousands basketball without Agent Zero. He was blogging. He was basically, you know, social media before social media really took off. He was electric. He was unreal. He was such a weird fucking bananas personality, as we saw later on. I love him. The numbers were incredible. Anyway, it's a damn shame that he probably won't get it, but he should. Just saying. Right, let's take a break. Be back with Australian Player Watch right after. How about Hump Day?
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, time to talk about Knowable. What are Chris Paul, Scott Kelly, and Alexis Ohanian all have in common? Well, you've heard me talk about it before, Knowable. Because they're all really smart, they've learned a lot of stuff in their lives, and now they're teaching you about it on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach you new skills in bite-sized audio courses. They're short like a podcast. It's like Spotify for learning stuff, and it's awesome. So the bloke from NASA, he teaches you about space. Chris Paul teaches about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle. And Alexis Ohanian from Reddit teaches you how to launch a startup. There's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new on Knowable. So if you're keen to learn some new stuff, go to knowable.fyi, download the Knowable app, bang in the code STRAYA, and get 20% off. It's awesome. I fucking love Knowable. You'll be smarter just by listening to it. Now give them a shot. Use the code STRAYA, 20% off. You'll be laughing. Right, Australian Player Watch. I love that I was like, oh, we're going to do a quick show today. It's basically going to be the exact same length. Whatever. Very, very, very brief Australian Player Watch today because we only had Jinglin' Joe Ingles out there. And I mean, there's a bit of a reason why he was out there crushing it because he hit 7 threes. 7 of the bloody things. How good is that? He was amazing. He went 7-10 from the floor, 7-10 from 3 rather, and 7-11 overall. Ends up with 21 points, but not only that, he absolutely fucking smashes it to the tune of 5 rebounds and 6 assists. He was absolutely amazing. 21 points, 7 made threes. Jingles. I think I tweeted out, I love it when he's kind of the do-everything Jingles. And very clearly it took him like one game to get used to Conley being back. He's coming off the bench again, boom. 7 made threes next to his mate, Georgie's Niang. Away they go. And the Joshy Greeny Green today versus the Grizz. He didn't dress for that game, which is a damn shame. It'd be nice if they sent him down to the G League to get a bit of a run, Dallas, but anyway. But speaking of the G League, Will the Thrill Magnay got it there for 24 minutes in the G League bubble against the Long Island Nets. He had 5 points. 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 5 turnovers, but 2 or 3 from the floor, 1-1 from downtown. Missed both of his free throws, but that's good that he's getting out there and getting a run around. You love to fucking see it, don't you? Right, let's do the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award, because it's Tuesday.
He threw it down! Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Hill
Shooter Shoot,
Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award. Oh, you get it. Brad Beal. Bradley fucking Beal. Averaging 33 points a game since the start of the season. If you want a shooter who shoots and shoots their shot, Brad Beal is your man. Because since 1990, the only players with higher scoring averages over the first 25 games of a season are literally Allen Iverson in 2005 and 6 and James Harden, who did it last year. That's the list. That is the list. Brad Beal is absolutely fucking crushing it, and I'm absolutely loving it, because Brad Beal, look, there's a reason he's an all-star this year, and there's a reason he's an all-star starter. And what it is that he's basically the dude who is in the news, and everyone's like, oh yeah, I know Brad Beal, he's all right. And then they're paying that little bit much more of attention to him, and they're like, wait a minute, he's fucking awesome. Of course everybody wants him on their team. For the month of February, he's averaging 30 points a game, shooting basically 32.5% from three, 47% from the floor. He averaged 36.7 points a game in January. Some pretty fucking awesome splits. Absolutely crushing it while averaging, you know, just a lazy fucking, what? Pretty much, what? Holy shit, he's like taking 8 threes a game. That's unbelievable. And absolutely canning it. So great job, Brad Beal. 33 points a game at the moment, leading the NBA. That's some Shane Hill Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Awards right there. Right, let's go do a bit of a Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Righto, it's an easy one, this one, because we're just going to go back to the well of Joe Ingles. Love the jingling Joe Ingles Twitter experience. So Donnie Mitchell tweeted, I'm going to say this one last time. Mike Conley deserves to be an All-Star 110%, so please put some damn respect on his name and get him in the game. Jingles retweeted that, because he's a legend. Then Jingles retweeted Aaron Falk tweeting out, Mike Conley has helped the first place Utah Jazz to their best start ever. He is the second best plus minus in the NBA. His teammates say he deserves to be an All-Star. If it's not going to happen this year, that will be tough. Jingles retweeted that. And you love to see it. The NBL tweeted out Melbourne Mood, Melbourne United, Jock Landale, NBL Cup, their first win. And boom, Jingler Joe Ingles tweets out Flex Jockdale. Flex emoji at Jock Landale. He fucking loves tweaking Jock Landale's nose, him and Bogut, with the Jockdale name. So Jingler Joe Ingles, absolute fucking legend. We all know that as well. And he crushed it today. So feeling good about that one. Right. How about some game previews?
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Hey, Jimmy, you excited to be away from the Facebook ban again?
Yes, mate. Yes, I am. We are back. I love to, you know, post dumb shit on the Facebookies, so I'm happy that it's back and I'm able to. Thank you for your support during this difficult time, everybody. All right. We had 3-6 in our picks today. That leaves us at 285 of 508 games picked this season. That's a lot. We're fucking smashing it. So Jimmy's, you know, fitty that he's going to put on tomorrow. What are we going to do? We're going to go have a look at some of these games. We've got Atlanta at Cleveland is the first one tomorrow. That's at 11. And what do we got? We've got the Cavs, 6.5-point underdogs at home against Atlanta. Can you imagine Cleveland breaking their 8-game losing streak against Atlanta? Maybe. I think not, though. I'm going to take Atlanta minus 6.5. I think they come out firing. They're feeling pretty good under Nate McMillan at the moment. Bit of a change of scenery. I think Atlanta smoked Cleveland. Going to be a fun one, though. Sex Man, Darius Rucker, Judy Garland up against Trae Young. Should be good. Clint Capela doing all sorts of weird shit. Detroit, Orlando. Oh, geez. Orlando, 2.5-point favorites at home against the Detroit Basketball Pistons. Now, Orlando won 3 straight at home. I'm going to take Orlando minus 2.5. I just can't trust Detroit. They've lost Delon right now as well. Orlando are just clicking a little bit better. Give me Orlando minus 2.5. Sacramento. Is it Brooklyn? Brooklyn. Now, the Kings. Speaking of teams that we left off the weekend losers, because I remembered only late in the show yesterday that I'd forgotten them, they have been horrible. The Nets have been good. The Kings D, especially that backcourt D, suspect. I'm taking the Nets -7.5 because I love the Kings. And as soon as I basically was like, right, love the Kings, they lost a million games. Watch the same thing happen to the Wiz after me today going, I love the Wizards. Anyway, Brooklyn -7.5 there easily. Golden State at the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. This is a tough one. It looks like Steph's going to play. I'm going to take the Knicks +1.5. I think their D is probably a little bit too tough for the rest of the Warriors. You know that Draymond and Steph are going to come out trying to make a statement after the shit show that was the end of that Charlotte game. They lost against Orlando as well. I just think the Knicks are a little bit better at home than we probably give them credit for. They're a bit tougher. I'm going to take the Knicks +1.5. We have the Sixers going to Toronto. Doesn't matter what the line is. I'm taking Toronto. They just don't lose to Philly. So it's +2. Give me the 2 points for the Raps. Fuck yeah. Minnesota, they just don't. 5-25 of the last 30. Toronto have beaten the Philly, 25 times out of the last 30, they've beaten the Sixers. So give me Toronto. Minnesota versus Milwaukee. Do they get a bit of a dead coach bounce? Do they cover? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to take the +10.5 for the Wolves. I think Cat will have a fucking point to prove. Milwaukee have been very good the last week. Minnesota, not so great. But they have been a little bit feisty here and there. And underneath a new coach, it's going to be a bit weird. You can have dudes fighting for rotation spots who are like, hey, I want to show the coach what I can do. They'll keep it a little bit tight. They'll end up losing a close one, I reckon, against Milwaukee. Give me the Minnesota Timberwolves +10.5. What else we got? Boston at Dallas. That is a rip snorter of a game. Dallas on a back-to-back. Didn't really exert themselves too much yesterday. Boston on the road. I think I might take Boston. The rumors of their demise have been somewhat overstated. I enjoy shitting on them, but that's because their fans are fucking everywhere and they're really annoying, just like Lakers fans. So it's always good to tweak their nose, but give me Boston -1 against Dallas. Look, Dallas have the bodies to throw at a team like Boston on the wing, but I also just not entirely convinced that Boston could slow down literally the rest of the weapons of Dallas, but I think we might get a big, 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 big Tatum game. I think you'll look at Luka and go, fuck you. Same with Brown. So give me Boston -1. Kemba will shoot it pretty well. Rested last game, so boom. Portland at Denver. It's going to be an interesting one. Portland, 8-point underdogs in Denver on a back-to-back after getting their ass kicked by Phoenix. I think I'm going to take Denver -8 in this one. I think Denver lay the hurt on Portland. Speaking of dudes who can sort of just vaguely, who match up pretty terrifyingly well against the Blazers, Denver, Joker's just going to look at Enes the Penis Kanter and lick his lips and go, hello, yes, it's very nice. And finally, Clippers hosting the Washington Wizards. I think this is where the good times were rolling. They come to a bit of a screeching halt for the Washington Wizards against the Clippers. 10-point favorites the Clippers are at home. I'm going to take the Clips. Nice. There you go. It's a lot of games. What is there, like 9 games tomorrow? Jesus. Means we're going to have a fun Wednesday. Right, so go to PlayUpAustralia, playup.com.au/NBAAustralia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. They're the best, remember? Do that if you're over 18 and bet responsibly. Don't be a dickhead. And that's it for today. We're back tomorrow. Love being back. And right, if you're smashing NBA Australia, we're back on Facey. Love that. We'll be all over the socials now. Watch out. Twitter, IG, chuck us a follow. Same with NFL Australia. Same with World Wrestling Australia. Go watch Adam from FWCI doing World Wrestling Australia. He's doing a basically an action figure giveaway this week, so go check that out. World Wrestling Australia on YouTube. We had the new WWE champion crowned this week. Everyone's losing their shit. It's awesome. So go check out FWCI, etc. Adam doing World Wrestling Australia on YouTube. It's fucking awesome. SmashNBAAustralia.com/shop. Go buy a hoodie, go buy a t-shirt, buy a stubby holder. Buy a hoodie. I'll just chuck in a stubby holder right now. How's that sound? The hoodies are really good. I had to chuck one on yesterday. I had to chuck mine on yesterday. I'm like, yes. It got fucking cold. I'm like, yes. These NBA Australia hoodies are fucking awesome. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on the Android phone. It does help out heaps. Please do it. Smash the dailylicker.com. Use the code Australia. Get a free sixer. Go to noble.fyi. Get 20% off when you use the code Australia as well. Big thanks go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band House Hats. They're running out of times out now, and it's awesome. Big thanks also go to Joshua De La Renta's Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Ramshackle Army are on tour at the moment. Their EP launch on Friday was fucking bananas. They play Beechworth on Saturday as well. Great fucking band. So give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Spotify, Apple Music, Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. And we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Jingles HR. He's answering a question from Ryan in Minnesota. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Good day today. Yeah, good stuff. Right. Look after yourselves, would you? And later, Hosen! Oh, g'day, Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the world's leading HR solutions firm. Because, yep, when I'm not sinking a million threes, blowing kisses, or enjoying my real estate in Paul George's head, I'm the world's leading HR expert, helping you with all your HR questions and problems the world over. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from a Ryan in Minnesota. My dearest Joe, after getting my dream job in my 30s and taken over from me dad as the manager of my company, I've just been fired. And now I don't know what to do. All I have ever known is this place and I thought I'd work here for the rest of my life, just like me old man. So, I'm at a massive loss and don't know where to start. Do you have any advice? Regards, Ryan in Minnesota. Oh, geez, Ryan. That is a tough one, and thanks for writing in, but that is a tricky situation, obviously not so uncommon at the moment. So, look, what I'd suggest is using your unscheduled time off, let's call it that, to take stock of what your skills are, what worked in your former role, what didn't, what you can get better at, and build up your skills portfolio and sort yourself out. You know, take a bit of time for yourself, bit mental, bit spiritual, just get your head in the right place. Because it's really tough. It's really tough to get fired and come out the other side feeling good about yourself. And that's what you need to do. If it's feasible and you're okay for coin, take a bit of time to get you right. Because I'd also suggest getting out of the city you've been working in. Especially if you've been working there for a long time and your dad worked there as well. You've got to get away from your old haunts, away from the old job and all the people you worked with. So you're going to try for a new start. And you said you're in Minnesota, right? Mate. Maybe go somewhere bloody warm. I'm just saying, like LA, Miami, bloody Houston if need be, whatever. But most of all you need to remember is this isn't the end of the line. Sure, you lost your job, but there's always other jobs, mate. I'm a HR manager. I know that better than anyone. I got cut by the bloody Clippers. Now I'm crushing it for the Jazz, and we're on top of the bloody world. So just keep your brain moving. Move somewhere a little bit warmer, bit nicer. Build up your skills so you value add at a much higher level in your new place of employment, and away you go. Take some time for you, build up the skills, and you'll be right as rain. Make your human resource, you, work for you. Now that's just great human resources. I mean, as we say here at Jingles HR, it's probably not your bloody fault you got fired anyway. It's probably the other jokers who didn't know their ass from their elbow. So, I hope that helps you out there, Ryan, and best of luck with finding a new gig. Alright, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a job up ya. Yeah.